Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego. It's time to buckle up. It's a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impacts in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or a seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and we'll chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders, explore hot button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, let's get going. Welcome back to Raise Nation Radio. If this is the first time where you're joining us, well, thank you for tuning in. You have about 140 plus episodes to catch up on, but we're so glad that you're here. We hope you love this channel and its content and stick with us and part of the Raise community for a very long time. If you've been with us before, welcome back. We hope you're enjoying the show. Thank you for making it so popular. And just thank you for being part of the Raise community and what you do every day to build better tomorrows for all of our communities. So a little fun fact about Raise Nation Radio, you know, it was born out of the Raise Conference. If you're not familiar, Raise takes place each year around the September timeframe, right after Labor Day. It moves around a little bit. This year, it's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's just a really great place for thought leaders, nonprofit professionals, industry innovators to kind of come together and learn from each other. There's about 40 CFRE sessions, and it's really taken on its own community. And in 2021, it was like, well, let's reach a larger audience. And how are we going to do that? Well, we do that in lots of ways, but one of which is this podcast. And so actually have some Raise attendees in the house that we're going to get to know. We're going to talk about Raise, but we're also going to talk about their great missions. So Carly is with us from the Ronald McDonald House Charities from Southwest. We all know and love that brand. She's a development coordinator. And Jody Weiss is with us from Child's Play. One word, guys, Child's Play, just that's it, all together. And she's the event manager and development associate. So I'm so happy to welcome them. We're going to talk about their missions. We're going to talk about Raise, and we're just going to talk about fundraising and all those trends. So Carly and Jody, welcome to Raise Nation Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I think I gave just a blah introduction to each of you. Just a title and organization doesn't really tell us who you are and your journey and story and what you do at your fine organization. So I'm going to give you the chance for our audience to get to know you and for you to tell us a little bit more about yourself. So Carly, if you want to start with you, just let it share whatever you'd like to share, what you do at Ronald McDonald House Charities, how you got there, whatever you'd like to share with you personally. We'd love to get to know you.
Sure. I have been with Ronald McDonald House Charities of the Southwest here in Lubbock, Texas, for about a year now. So I'm still pretty new. If I think the brand is so familiar, but it's really common for people to not know exactly what it is that we do. And our main program is the house. And what the house is it is a place for families that have a hospitalized child to stay for free. We're always located near a large hospital, and families whose child is injured or sick in so many different ways, they need a place to be. They need to be close to their kid. And that's the main program that we offer. We also have family rooms in hospitals that that serve families in a different way. I am the development coordinator. I primarily do events, which is my one cause connection. And I also manage our McDonald's relationship, so the relationship that we have with McDonald's franchisee owners.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and you do such great work, you know, trying to create a home away from home when that home feels like the four walls of a hospital. I know you do great work firsthand. My daughter and I have volunteered a number of times at Ronald McDonald House Charities, bringing in full meals and cooking. And it's nice how you involve the community. And I feel like it's very multi-approached, right? In how you go about a very delicate time for families. So Absolutely. Thank you for what you do. You know, every day we want to hear more about that. But
First, let's hear from Jody and Child's Play. Perhaps not as a brand like the Ronald McDonald House Charities, but nonetheless, great work in impacting our communities. So tell us about that.
Thank you. Hi. So I'm actually going to read Child's Play's new mission, because after 45 years, we have finally changed our mission to include, we've grown a lot in a lot of different ways. So our new mission is to ignite imagination, wonder, and joy by creating strikingly original theater and learning experiences that inspire young minds to explore and soar. So we started as actually a master thesis from our founder, David Saar, and he wanted to bring professional theater into the schools. And so that's how we actually started, kind of in the back of his Impala is the lore. And we've been around for 45 years, and we have now morphed into the largest professional theater for young audiences. And we not only offer theater, but what we have done is grown into an educational organization as well. We bring professional development to teachers into the schools. We bring residencies for further learning of the themes of our shows into the schools. And we have developed what we like to call baby theater, just lovingly, because what we have started to do is really explore that early theater and using the same principles of dramatic play with as young as a year old and then moving all the way up. We typically go to about 18 years old. And we also have an academy here at, that we teach at, you know, summer school and things like that. It actually goes year round now. But we've really developed from a professional theater. We're all professional artists, directors, designers, and our chosen audience is families, young people and families.
Oh, wow. I love that. Having a daughter who grew up in musical theater as her side hustle to, you know, junior high school, and what do they call it? Middle school now. That was my day when they called it junior high school, right? But middle school and high school. And it's just so, such a beautiful outlet for students. And it's nice to see an organization keeping that alive. And I love your new mission. Congratulations. 45 years, that is a milestone for sure. And how long has the Ronald McDonald House Charities been around? We have some longevity here.
Yes,
we definitely do. Yeah, we're selling. We're celebrating 50 years this year. The entire organization. So the first house in Philadelphia, our Mercy of the Southwest, has been around for 36 years.
That's a long run.
Yeah.
So Ronald McDonald House Charity started in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Is that what I heard you say? Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah, the really inception of the entire organization was a Philadelphia Eagles football player whose child got very sick. And he kind of looked around and thought, I have the means to stay in a hotel this whole time, but what about other families that don't have the means? And that's kind of where it started. He had a strong connection with the McDonald's owners in that local area. And so it began.
Wow. Got a shout out to those Philadelphia Eagles. I'm married to a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I'm from New Jersey, but I married a Philly guy. And they really do a lot for their communities. Currently, the Philadelphia Eagles support the autism community, but I feel like they've always had a servant leadership approach to their team. So I didn't know that story. Thank you for sharing that, Carly. Yeah. So you both have like this legacy that now, wait, Jody, how long have you been at Child's Play?
Since 1985.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have quite a few of us who have been here for 40 years plus. And we kind of jokingly say that Child's Play, it's a life sentence because we all love it so much. We really believe in the mission, and nonprofit arts organization, you have to have people who are passionate and believe in what you do. And we have quite a few of us here who have been here for 35, 40 years. So,
wow. So we're talking lots of legacy between your history, Jody, and how long Child's Play been around, the Ronald McDonald House Charities brand, and how long it's been around, your roots. How did that weigh on you to, and you're both in a development role, right? So development is, you're constantly trying to take it up the next level. You know, how does that weigh on what you do every day?
I can speak to Child's Play is constantly not reinventing ourselves, but trying to learn from past what we have done and continuing to adapt and overcome challenges. We saw it really prevalent in during the pandemic. And, you know, normally we would be going out into schools or having people come to us. Well, there was no theater available. And you couldn't bring people into the theater, and we couldn't go into the schools because everybody was home. So we adapted and did, you know, theater online. We videoed and then gave that to the schools for free so that they had something to show their kids. We also did theater in the parking lot, and we would set up at libraries, and people could come in their cars with their kids, and like the old
drive-in movie theaters.
Yeah, the drive-in movie theaters. You tuned into the radio and you could hear us. So we really are all
I'm old
adapting.
Enough to know those. I am.
Yes,
I
exactly.
I can remember vividly seeing right. Charlotte's Web with my mom and dad at a drive-in movie theater.
Yeah.
So,
and we also try to do that continually with our development, and me specifically with our fundraising events, constantly looking for new ways to do what we have already done, or new ideas to incorporate and to try to find new events to fundraise.
Yeah. It's hard. It's not easy. Carly, for you, you know, the Ronald McDonald House charity is big brand. I mean, maybe the communities, not everyone knows exactly, you know, what you do, but they certainly know the, I can't imagine anyone not knowing the brand. And so here you step into a 50-year history, you're 1 year in. How does that pressure resonate with you?
You know, one of the largest things that we have to overcome is that we hold the McDonald brand to a lot of people, and they say, I just don't need any money. McDonald's makes plenty of money. Oh, wow. They're wonderful supporters, and it's a wonderful, wonderful partnership, but they're about 10% of our income comes from our partnership with McDonald's.
Okay.
And the different things.
There we go. And you can fact check that. Let's level set. It's only 10%.
Bring it on back.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Very good. Thanks for setting us straight.
Yeah, but it's difficult because especially when your job is in development for the brand, and people very quickly connect the two, and we love that connection. It's so important to what we do, but it's also a bit of an obstacle when you are fundraising that people automatically assume, you know, people are funny. They say funny things. McDonald's has plenty of money or whatever to your face, but it's I particularly spend a lot of time kind of debunking that myth and helping people understand we still very much need our local community's involvement.
Yeah, wow, that's a big hurdle for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to ask you now, how do you go about that education? And of course, I'm leading you to water. I'll shameless plug here. You both attended the RAISE conference. And I'd love to hear when you attended, on what that experience was like, but is that a good resource to help you stay on top of trends and innovation and keeping your brand fresh and developing in new ways and helping you grow your impact? What experiences did you have at RAISE, and how have they helped you and your teams? Whoever wants to start. That was a big question and a whole bunch of questions wrapped up in one.
Well, I think Jody and I are on completely separate ends of the spectrum in the way that When I went to raise, I had been working in fundraising for 5 minutes, like not very long at all.
So was
like,
that last year? Were you there?
Yes, I just went last year. I taught choir. I was a choir, high school choir director for 12 years before that. So I had had a completely different career. And this was like drinking from a fire hydrant, just trying to write down as many things and know as many things as possible.
So you were new in your role. Yeah. And what sparked, I need to go to raise? Like, how did that all come together?
Coming into my, we had a complete development turnover. So our development director was in the process of being hired. I was the loan development person. They had a lot of confidence in what I was going to. Well, they did not know anything. And one of the main things was, oh, both of the people that know how to use OneCause, they don't work here anymore. So we really need you to figure out how this works. And so I was spending bless Ryan Love,
that's a wonder. All of our customer success managers are wonderful, but Ryan Love would certainly understand because he came from development, from Big Brothers, Big Sisters before he joined OneCause. So I'm glad to hear that he empathized with you, but I'll let you
absolutely and answered my 100 questions. And he was so kind. And it was really right when things were moving over to the fundraising platform. So he was like, it's kind of better. You're just going to learn everything brand new. You didn't know the platform before. But we spoke so much. And then I started getting information about Raise. And I brought it to my CEO. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. He went as well.
And you went great. Oh, so you went alone.
And our new development director, she had literally been working here for like 2 weeks. And so it was great for the three of us to do something together. It was great to be learning all at the same time. And for me, it was just I think I have an entire notebook worth of notes from the Raise.
Did you get a little Raise notebook?
Yes. And just wrote down as much as humanly possible.
Right here. They're all on my desk. Every event that we have at OneCause, I'm like, oh, I'll take one or five.
Yes.
I hope my CMO is not hearing that right. Yeah. I take a little stack for myself. I love those little notebooks. They're so cool. All right. Well, before we get into your experience and what you were able to take out of that, I do want to hear from Jody. How did it come about that you attended the Raise conference, and when did you join that Raise community?
Last year was also my first year at the Raise conference.
Yeah, it was a great year in Nashville. Yeah. Did y'all?
There you go.
Did y'all line dance at that?
Oh, yeah.
You did. So you had blisters on your feet?
Yes.
Great. I had actually been looking for a new auction software. I had been through several others, and somebody told me about OneCause. And so I had done some research, talked to a few people, and had literally just signed the contract, like, okay, we're going to use you. And and then I got the Raise notification. I'm like, well, this is perfect. I can go. I can talk to people one-on-one. And they were amazing. They really kind of walked me through the software, which was lovely. Great introduction to it. And I got to go to Nashville and go to all those other sessions as well. So it was perfect timing.
Oh, good. The interesting about Raise, though, we love to talk about our product. Of course, especially the OneCause fundraising platform. But we're actually a sponsor of the Raise conference, and it's not really a user conference. People would be surprised that the majority of the attendees are not OneCause customers yet. I'm going to put the yet caveat on that. But it's nice to know that our customers are taking advantage of the resource. We love content at OneCause, love it. And we try to put it out in all different forums, all different channels, like this podcast, our webinar program, infographics, ebooks, blah, whatever we can do to help. And 8 years ago, it was decided, well, you know what, let's have a conference. So I do want to talk about your experience. We talked about the sessions, and, you know, you can earn up to, I don't know, if you attend every single session that there's a time slot for, if you can get up to 9, maybe even a little bit more, Well, all in all, we have about 40 CFRE sessions. They're all accredited with CFRE. But then there's the networking events and the sponsor pavilion, and we try to keep the sponsors tight so we have time to see everybody. But let's talk about the experience, any aspect of it, whether it's the networking with other peers, whether it was last year with Siri Lindy or a keynote, the line dancing, we can talk about that, or the food or the town or the session. Just let's talk about some of the experiences at RAISE and what really stood out for you.
I can go. Great. So, yes, I loved the line dancing, loved Nashville. It was fabulous. It was really a great conference. Because I have been doing this for a while, I was kind of very specific in the things that I wanted to, you know, kind of learn and go and see. Of course, for me personally, I'm always looking for the holy grail of what can I do besides a gala with a silent auction?
Yeah.
But above and beyond that, I was very interested in some peer-to-peer fundraising because we have not done a lot of that here. And there were a few different sessions on that, and those were very, very helpful. And I, like Carly, took many notebooks full of notes. And I still refer back to those because when you hit lulls, as we all know, going to a conference is great. It really revitalizes you. You come back with a gazillion ideas. So sometimes when you are in that lull, I pull those out again and go, oh yeah, I forgot about this session that I took notes on, and maybe we can incorporate this. And it's super, super helpful. And, you know, I'm not a great networker, but the people there were lovely, and I never, although I went by myself, I never felt like alone because the people were just, they're great. I think that fundraisers in general are very outgoing because we need to be. So it was lovely. It was overall just a wonderful experience.
Well, that's good to hear. How about you, Carly? Any standout experiences, whatever they may be, about the 2.5-day conference?
Sure. There were a lot of things. I wish that I could remember one of the sessions that I went to, who exactly it was. But she called it the Fearless 15. She gets to work 15 minutes, sets the clock, and does all the things that she has, the things you put off, the things you're like, oh, I just don't really want to do that right now. So you put it off. And she said, just make yourself do the things that you would. That changed the way I do my day. That's like a very general work thing. I guess anybody could use that at work, but just knowing I'm going to get all of those things out of the way at the beginning of the day. And then I had a gala with the silent auction hanging over my head, knowing that it was coming. So there was a really great, who's a charity auctioneer that has seen it all and talked about the little tiny details of an event like that and what to do and what not to do and interesting things that he's seen and different ideas. And that was a wealth of knowledge for me as well, getting ready to do an event like that that I had never done. And I absolutely followed most of his rules. Really tall centerpieces. He was like, don't do it. Your auctioneer can't see the people at your table.
Who else says, I don't know who that was at RAISE, but you know who else says that? Reggie River. He wasn't at RAISE. Reggie Rivers typically will help MC the RAISE conference, but he did have a touch of laryngitis last year. Mm-hmm. And so we had Shauna Adamick and Jason Champion with us last year, but I know Reggie always talks about that. He even has this great PowerPoint slide where he'll show, a ballroom with low centerpieces, and then he animates large centerpieces and how it obstructs the visibility. I'm like, that is a problem. But we're going to talk a little bit about how you brought all of this information back to your team. Jody, you touched on that a little bit, but I do want to touch on how it becomes actionable for you and your team, but we do want to pause for one moment for this commercial break, but we'll be back shortly.
Howdy, Raise Radio. This is Kirsten Hill, Director of Nonprofit Solutions at Firespring. We are dusting off our boots, looking forward to speaking and exhibiting at the 2024 Raise Conference. As a full-service marketing company specializing in nonprofits, we know how critical it is to promote your organization and events. Visit firespring.com/raise for a special offer for Raise attendees. That's firespring.com/raise. We look forward to seeing you in Nashville. Yeehaw!
Welcome back. We are talking with development people from Ronald McDonald House Charities and Child's Play. We're getting into seeing ahead of trends and fundraising and innovation and how you do that. And we did land on the Raise Conference. We were chatting about that a little bit. But I'm going to ask Jody and Carly a little bit about attending these conferences. So here's my shtick here. Conferences are great, right? You meet people, you network, you grab a bunch of business cards, you learn this, you learn that. It's rapid fire, session after session, notebook after notebook. You come home and it's like, okay, now I have 363 days of the year to, you know, implement this and mobilize my team and inspire my team and get these things done. So how did you both do that? How did you take the lessons learned? And Jody, you referenced the notebooks, and when you hit a lull, referring back to those notebooks, I think that's a great idea. But how do you make all of this learning in a very condensed, rapid fire manner execute in your roles? Were you successful doing that? Do you feel like it impacted the work that you do?
I'll go. Sorry. I'm waiting for Carly. To me, it's quite humorous that you say team, because you're looking at the team.
Okay.
We are a very small
Wait a minute.
Nonprofit.
So let's stop there. You're both in development and both teams of one, or what?
No, events.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Events, human, person, team.
You're the events human. Got it. Okay.
Exactly. So I manage our gala every year, as well as about six other kind of smaller events.
Oh, that's a lot of work. Just one event is a lot of work.
Yes. But so for me, it was really making sure that I took good notes for myself. Certainly, I had to come back and present, or not had to, but I did come back and present lots of my learning to our managing director and our development director. But they, you know, because I've been in this position for so long, they are very trusting of me and said, look, if this is what you think, you know, we need to do, we need to use this one cause now and try this, et cetera, go for it. You know, that's great. So I'm very lucky in that I have their support 98% of the time. And
we won't talk about the 2%.
Yeah, right. Mostly it's just that I have to convince them that other 2%. But yeah, so I'm lucky in that way. Unlucky in the fact that, you know, it's pretty much just me and then whatever committee I have. But yeah, so I learned a lot, and I'm still trying to implement those more of those peer-to-peer fundraising ideas that that we learned. But overall, I was able to implement many of the things that I learned at Raise. Yeah.
Good for you. It's good that, you know, that the time and the money and the travel is well spent, and that you're putting it, you know, to good use. And I love that. I love combining that peer-to-peer aspect with an event and mobilizing, you know, your guests. And your sponsors, we've seen a lot of success with the One Cause fundraising platform and their fundraising pages, which allows, you know, you to do little side fundraising and all of your guests and sponsors and their guests. So, yeah, good luck with that. If you need any help, we have plenty of content, and we'll be happy to send that your way. Carly, how about you? How did you take all of Raise into a notebook, into your luggage on the way home, and then actually make it actionable and implement some of those lessons?
Really similar to Jody. I check back, and because who can remember everything that they
seriously took in, I don't know what I had for breakfast.
Exactly. So I check back when, especially when I'm coming up on an event that I remember, oh yes, there was some really good content from Raise that I should go back and double check. There's also a wealth of knowledge in the, I can't remember what it's called, all of the customer support for One Cause, where they have
One not Cause just University.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
Not only for how to use One Cause, but then many people I know that are in customer support did development and did events. And so they have made so many comprehensive guides and checklists and things of the sort that are usable. But I went to one session that was like diversity and inclusion and what it feels like for people outside, if your organization can tend to look all similar, what it looks like, what it presents like to people, to a diverse population. I loved having that in mind as I was creating, we do a gala, we do a golf tournament, we do a big blah, blah, blah sports luncheon, you know, and then whatever various events, but just understanding what does this event look like outward facing to our community? Does everybody feel like they're invited to this event? Does everybody feel like they belong at this event? And because our mission is for every single person, we're not pointed in one socioeconomic category. We're none of that. It's really for everybody. So there were some really interesting things to keep in mind in that particular.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Events shouldn't look like, you know, one culture or race or religion or population versus mm-hmm. the other. And sometimes it's easy to get into that because you're just looking at the ticket numbers, right? You know, mm-hmm. and are we, you know, where we need to be and not necessarily looking at, you know, what that outside lens is, you know, is looking at. And so there's a lot of talk about that. I'm looking forward to this raise because we're talking about, you know, DAF fundraising and trends and integrations and diversity, equity, inclusion, and AI and more AI. There's so much going on. So we call this the raise craze here at One Cause. And it's a lot. It takes a full year, if not more. We're already looking at Raise 2025 and 2026 because it just takes that much to lift it. But let's talk a little bit more about your missions. You know, we talked about what you both are doing, you know, to stay ahead, to carry the weight of your legacy, to, you know, be future thinking and forward thinking in your development. But if somebody's listening and now we know that Ronald, you know, McDonald's only supports, and I don't want to say only, but supports 10% and there's still a 90% way to go. And Child's Play wants to get out of the gala and auction and, you know, go next level. But you're, you know, teams of not that many. What do you need? Like what? If people want to get involved, let's talk about how do they get involved and what do you need? And of course, we know donations, right? That's a given. You're nonprofits. But what else do you need? And how can people get involved? So whoever wants to jump in first, because we're going to put all this in the show notes. So somebody might
I'll go first this time. I keep making it go first. Sorry. Obviously, yeah, monetary donations, which is the majority of what my focus is. But we run a full house. So everything that you need in your home, we need in our home, and we want it to feel as homey as possible. So lots of in-kind donations, snack donations, and full-size toiletries, and you know, anything and everything that you can think of in a house, paper towels, toilet paper, laundry detergent. These are all things that we need and that if we're having to purchase them, it's a huge expense for the amount of people that we're serving. So all of those are great options. We also, like you said, we have people that cook meals. Our families are provided one hot meal, at least one hot meal every day. And that's usually dinner. And it's a really important time for all of these people that are going through something similar to be able to catch up on their day. How did your day go? Did you guys make any progress? Was it a good day? Was it a bad day? Those meals that volunteers are coming in and cooking are providing a lot more than just a warm meal in their belly. It's providing a moment of community for these families to realize that they're not alone. So great, great volunteer opportunities. We also have what we call house chores, where people do all your normal fun house chores, like what you do.
You don't think about that. Like, you need soap and the floor is mopped, just like every other house needs soap and the floor is mopped.
Absolutely. And it's of the utmost importance that the house is super clean.
Yes,
because everybody, most people are dealing with a child that's immunocompromised. So we want to make sure that they feel like this is a very safe place for them to be.
And how can you get involved before we move over to donations?
You can go to rmhcsouthwest.com. All of this information is beautifully laid out by our communications coordinator, and anything and everything you need to know is there. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. We're in all the places.
All the places. We'll get that on the show notes so nobody has to take notes right now and try to remember the URL. We'll get it all in the show notes. But Jody, how about you? What is it that you guys need most aside from the donations and how to get involved?
A vacation?
Is that for you personally, Jody?
Yes, that's for me.
Oh, I see.
I'm just kidding. You know, again, obviously donations, right? We're a nonprofit arts organization. We get very little from a few people.
Yeah.
The arts are incredibly important, and we are constantly trying to prove that. And we can, of course, over and over and over again. But it's just a societal thing right now when there are so many very important things. Obviously, the Ronald McDonald House, hugely important, especially if you have someone, especially a child, in a situation like that. But I think that, like Carly said, we also could use lots of in-kind donations. We run an academy, which means all of those teaching supplies apply to us just like they would a teacher in a public school. We also provide professional development for teachers, which includes a lot of page to stage, meaning those books that we would love to provide those teachers and helping them bring those books to life in their own classrooms. Those would be a great donation. As well as construction, you know, we always need help with sets and costumes and things like that. That would be lovely. So if someone is has that particular skill and wants to come volunteer, fabulous. Again, childsplayaz.org is our website, and we welcome one and all.
Yeah, we're going to get that in the show notes as well. And you know, you're so right. My daughter was involved in a number of productions, and I'm typically enlisting my husband for those things, right? Like, they need help. Go build a boat or something for the Little Mermaid or whatever was going on. But it's a lot of work, just one little boat, right? Like, it's a lot of work behind the scenes. But I have to tell you, when I look back, our audience, and I've been with One Cause for a good amount of time. Not as long as Jody, you've been at Child's Play, but a little over 13 years now. My kids have grown up with One Cause, and you know, I was talking with my husband not that long ago, and you know, she's been very involved in a lot of things, as has my son. But the best memories that we have are definitely when she's been in anything with the performing arts or musical theater, and it is very important. Perhaps not a critical mission like the Ronald McDonald House Charities, as you pointed out, but such an important opportunity for young people. And thank you for just persevering with your mission and revising your mission statement just to make sure that doesn't go away in any way. So two very important missions, different, but absolutely important, because they're building beautiful communities. Well, I was just so inspired talking to both of you. You're so committed to what you're doing, evident in that, you know, you're not just at your desk every day. You've branched out, you've joined communities like Raised, and you've brought all of those lessons, you know, back home, and hopefully you're implementing them all. So thanks for chatting with me today. Just about Raise and the Raise community and fundraising and all that good stuff. I want to thank you for what you do and just being so passionate about doing it well and really doing a good job building those better tomorrows. So thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, fearless fundraisers, that's about all we have time for today. I'm sorry. I feel like we could talk for another episode's worth, but thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Raise Nation topic and your daily dose of fundraising inspiration. Please tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for new releases. But in the meantime, listen to all the episodes at Raise Nation Radio. You can follow us wherever you love getting your podcast, because we do stream on 10 different channels. We're on YouTube as well as on demand at onecause.com. This way you can get notifications about all our new guests. And if you're a fundraiser and you would like to appear on the show and be a guest, I'd love to chat with you. So just reach out, hello@onecause.com. I'd love to feature your story and your mission on the show. So I would like to thank our sponsor, Firespring, for making this episode possible. Firespring works every day to create websites, along with other tools and resources that make nonprofit marketing and fundraising easier and more effective. Check it out, firespring.com/raise, because they've set up a special page as a Raise sponsor for a free audit of your nonprofit website. If you want to check that out, we love free, we love tools, we love content, we love resources. A huge shout out and thanks again to my guests, Carly and Jody, for just being... sharing their authentic voice and sharing some of their experiences in the crazy maze of development and fundraising. Thank you again for being with us. So enjoyed our conversation. But I'd like to ask, as we ask all of our guests, would you like to leave us with some last words of inspiration? Whoever would like to go first, Jody or Carly?
I found a great quote that I think is fitting for small nonprofits in particular. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. That's by Margaret Mead.
Oh, I love that. Powerful, fearless. I love that. That's a good one. All right, Carly, bring us home.
I think for me, I made such a huge career shift in, especially because I was in a career, teachers feel like this is my career forever. I got a degree in this. This is the way this has to be forever. I just want to encourage anybody that feels like it's too late or I'm too far down the road, I can never make a change. You never know what's on the other side of a change and making a big step. This is the best change I've ever made. There's always new things.
Wow, that was two powerful pieces of inspiration. Thank you both so much. So small groups making big impact, and it's never too late to make a change. We're going to get all that and more in our show notes. Carly, Jody, I'm so sad to say goodbye, but I wish you all the best of luck. If there's anything that you need, please reach out to your Raise community, to your One Cause family. We're here to help. We love putting out good resources, and we want to help you grow your impact every day, not just two-day Raise conference or when you happen to call One Cause support. So please lean on us. We're here for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again so much. That's a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.